BulaNetwork.com, episode 146. Okay, kids, let's talk about the triple death trap for small businesses. Long enough title, huh? Triple death trap. Let's do it next. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. You are listening to Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. Bula is a Fiji term analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. Means both hello and goodbye. I'm told it means life. In particular, it means life is good. I think it is. Fell in love with the term almost 35 years ago. No, not from Fiji. Never been to Fiji, but thought it was a cool term. So back in 1997, when I started Bula Network, I, you know, just had to have the name Bula in it. Hey, I've got something, something just pretty extraordinary that I'm going to play for you. It's a sound. I'm going to play it. I'm going to play part of it. And hang on, let me get it queued up here. I'm sorry. Working on the fly, working live without a net. I'm not going to tell you what this is. Not right off the bat. I'm going to play it, just a little bit of it, and then I'll play a little bit more of it. And I think you'll get a kick out of this. So here you go. Listen and see if you can't guess who or what this is. No, it's not anything nasty. It's funny. It's really funny. You figured it out? Someone recorded the sound of their baby crying, and they slowed down. They pitched down the audio. And isn't that just eerie? This is a baby crying, pitched down. I ran across this last week. A local radio station played this. I laughed my head off when I understood what it was. Oh, genius. It's absolute audio gold. It's genius. Yeah, it's eerie. I grant you that. It's eerie. What does it have to do with today's show? Nothing. Well, it kind of sort of does. It kind of sort of does. And I played it for two reasons. The main one was just because it's funny in an eerie sort of way. But this whole triple death trap for small businesses, and I've been thinking about this for a good long while, and I have encountered this just, I really don't get it. And the very first one, I absolutely don't get, and it's why I began by playing this baby crying pitched down, because that's what we sound like. That's what whining, sniveling adults sound like. Triple death trap number one. Yeah, there's three of them, hence the triple. Toxic viewpoint. Now, you could call it mindset, you can call it attitude, you can call it philosophy, I don't care. Call it anything you want. I've called it toxic viewpoint. Let me illustrate. Just now, I don't mean people that are somewhat negative or people that can be somewhat pessimistic, because I don't care who you are. We all have those moments where we have to battle pessimism. I'm talking about business people who every single day, they start their day, they work throughout the day, and they end their day with just this toxic perspective, this toxic viewpoint. They have a negative attitude about their employees. They have a negative attitude about their customers. They have a negative attitude about the work they do. They have a negative attitude about the world in general. It's just everything is bad. And nothing can be improved. These are people who go through life with the absolute dead solid certain belief, this is just how life is. Build a bridge and get over it. Man, what a death trap that is. Who wants to go through life living that way? And it doesn't even make sense. You've got a small business and you're in the business of selling something. I don't know what it is, and it doesn't matter what it is. But whatever it is that you're selling, people want it, they need it, it serves some purpose, it fulfills some need, it solves some problem. How can you do that? How can you provide something that's hopefully got some value to customers and have such a toxic viewpoint? That, well, it's just how it is. It's never going to be any better. Well, and of course, being the snarky guy that I am, I regularly tell people, you're right. You're right. It's not going to get any better. You're right. You're right. It is the way it is. In fact, I'll go you one better. It's going to get worse. So just brace yourself. You might as well just batten down the hatches and get ready. Now, let me, the counter position of this, and I do think that there is that proverbial happy medium. The counter position to this is everything is great. Everything is wonderful. Everything is rosy. Everything is going to work out. I'm not going to participate in the financial crisis. I'm not going to participate in the recession if there is one. Well, as much as I am a firm believer that attitude matters, and as much as I'm a believer in that our viewpoint can either be toxic or it can be something far better, I do think that there is some practical, pragmatic, realistic point of view that as business people we need to embrace. I don't think it's necessarily going to serve us to just spring out of bed and everything is going to be rosy. We're not going to encounter any problems. Life is just glorious and wonderful, and it's just going to be, you know, it's just going to be puppy dogs and rainbows all day long. It isn't. And if that's the expectation, you know, within the first hour, you're going to be disappointed and disillusioned, and you might be prone to give up. So don't do that. But we have to believe that there are some things that are within our control to improve. There is no reason, in my opinion, for a small business person to have a toxic viewpoint. And if you have a toxic viewpoint, I'm going to tell you right now, get out. Get out now. Because it's not going to get any better. You are dead set on sabotaging any hope for success that you could have. Stop it. Get out now. This is manifested, by the way, when you find a small business owner who doesn't really, he's not an entrepreneur in the sense that he's crafted and created this organization that can operate without his constant presence. And there are tons of businesses like that. And it happens. It happens. We start out as small business owners and we're willing to work more cheaply than anybody else on the planet. And so we do. We can't afford to hire anybody. Why? Well, because we'll work for free. Nobody else will work for free. And that's where the slide starts. What starts out as a bootstrapping kind of a mindset morphs into a really toxic viewpoint where now we're just enslaved to a job that we hate. The problem is we own this job. Unlike the job that you could get working for somebody else, for the man, you can't just go in and resign because you're on the hook. How many business owners do you suppose there are out there that would love to go in tomorrow morning? Shoot, they'd like to go in right now. They'd like to just resign and walk away. Can't. Feel trapped. That toxic viewpoint doesn't just happen overnight. At least in my experience, I haven't seen that. I have seen it morph over time. I have seen the crying, the whining, the complaining amp up and continue to amp up over time. And eventually it takes a toll. The business is doomed. Now, I'm not saying that the business will necessarily fail, but there's a major lid on top of the business as far as what the success of that enterprise can ever be, because ownership has a toxic attitude. They have a toxic view of the world, and every decision that they make is done based upon that viewpoint. And that's one of the big killers of it. You know, it's one thing for us to just say, well, it's what people think. I mean, how does that matter? Well, because the way people view the world, the way people think, makes all the difference in the world and how they decide things. Take the concept of money. There are some people who have a really negative attitude about money. Well, money is neutral. Money is, you know, to quote modern vernacular, money is agnostic in the sense that money doesn't care. Money is only empowered by whoever has the money. Money doesn't care if you've got a whole lot of it or you don't have very much of it. Money doesn't care if you serve this religion or that religion or no religion at all. Money doesn't care if you're doing things legally or illegally. Money just doesn't care. But there are a lot of people who believe that there is something inherent in money. And a lot of people, by the way, speaking of spiritual things, and I am a man of faith, you know that if you've listened to me at all. And if you haven't, well, I am. No, I don't pound people over the head with it. But a lot of people get it wrong. The scriptures don't say that money is the root of all evil, because money is just money. It's just there. It's neutral. The love of money is the root of evil. Well, now we're talking about viewpoint. Now we're talking about the way we feel about something. And yes, that changes everything. Check your viewpoint. Do you get up every day fully convinced that life sucks, the world is an awful place, you can't get a fair break, nothing's ever going to go your way, the problems that you had yesterday, they're going to be tenfold today, and there's nothing at all that you can do about it? Is that you? Stop it. Stop it. What have you got? And I ask this question quite frequently. What have you got to lose if tomorrow you get up and you just turn that on its head? Okay, I understand. You're not just going to flip a switch and automatically believe it. But what if you got up tomorrow and you just said, forget it. I'm going to decide that today's going to be a good day and I'm going to do everything I can to make it a good day. Whatever problem I have, I'm going to go into that problem with the determination that there is a solution. I just don't happen to know what it is right now, but I'm going to work on it. I'm going to think about it. Instead of just carrying around a bunch of white handkerchiefs, and every time there's a problem, I pull one out of my hat, out of my pocket, and like an NFL referee, I just throw it up in the air. It's my act of surrender. Well, there you go. There's a problem I'm just never going to be able to fix. Oh, well, there's another problem I'm just never going to be able to solve. Why don't you just leave the handkerchiefs at home? Leave the white handkerchiefs at home and just set about to try. Just try it. Just try to do things differently and just see if it does anything for you. But the second thing that makes up this triple death trap is a lack of strategic thinking. Lack of strategic thinking. So many people, if I have heard this, this has got to be one of the most often used phrases that I have grown up in small business hearing. And it is shooting from the hip or flying by the seat of our pants. One or the other. And they both mean the same thing. They both basically mean, I don't plan anything. I just go with the flow. I just do whatever seems right in the moment. I just willy-nilly go about. Now, people won't admit to that, but that's what it amounts to. I live by the knee-jerk reaction. That's what that means. Something happens, I react, and I react immediately. I don't think about it. I don't plan. I don't do anything. I go. How's that working out? Well, it doesn't work out. It doesn't work out. Oh, sure. Sometimes a blind pig can find one. So yeah, occasionally you might stumble bum around and make a good decision. Luck happens. But more often than not, a lack of strategic thinking will not only delay your ability to fix what ails you, it will create more problems. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Companies encounter a difficult problem, come up with some knee-jerk reaction, and I'm really surprised it can happen when there's no time element. Think about this in your life. Think about the times that it doesn't call for a decision to be made right now, right this instance, but that's what you do. You knee-jerk it. You think about, well, you just let your emotions run you, and you make a decision. And nobody had any pressure on you at all to make the decision right now. There was nothing preventing you. I get so frustrated when somebody could take 30 minutes, just 30 minutes, to pre-think something. Let's say that you need to get some communication out to a customer. They may have emailed, they may have called, and there's just this knee-jerk reaction to just, okay, let's just rifle off that reply and not think it through. And it works especially ineffective if it's email, because we write it thinking one thing, but if we would have spent more time with it and thought that thing through and read it the way a customer might would read it, guess what? We don't come across at all the way we intended. We're not strategic. We're not thinking it through. What are our options? Do we have options? What are they? Can we weigh them? Can we determine if there are negatives and positives? Are there pluses and minuses to any of these decisions? Does it matter? What will the customer's reaction be? What will the business response be? What will our market do if we decide this? And what will the market do if we decide that? And we live in a world where there are a lot of people that are just completely absorbed with analytics and looking and measuring everything. And it's funny to me because in the practical world, in the world that I come from, in the world that I live in, most small business owners don't do any of that. They just put one foot in front of the other and frankly hope it works out. And I'm not talking about mom and pop $100,000 a year businesses. I'm talking about multi-million dollar a month businesses that operate that way. And they've operated that way for a long, long time. And that makes it really, really tough. But over time, it catches up. Yeah, it's one thing to just have a stroke of luck when you hop up on the surfboard and you catch a nice wave. And it seems like, look at me, I'm riding this thing. Doesn't end well. You might ride the wave for a little while, but the crash and burn, it's coming. There's a dangerous reef up ahead that might take your life. Lack of strategic thinking. And that leads into, and I've already alluded to it, the final one. Poor communication. Poor communication. And all of these are really just kind of balled up into one big thing. But it is this triple death trap. Toxic viewpoint. Lack of strategic thinking. Poor communication. Poor communication is manifested, well, better said, the toxic viewpoint is manifested in the poor communication. The lack of strategic thinking is manifested in poor communication. I know people, and every time that they have reference, every time that they allude to or they talk about customers, derogatory names are used. I don't mean anything foul necessarily or terribly ugly, but things like idiots, morons, and also when talking about employees, same thing. Idiots, morons. And of course, you know, I'm the guy who's just snarky enough to say, well, who's the idiot that hired that guy? Yeah, that always works. Well, sometimes they smile. Quite often they don't. Because guess what? They're the idiot that hired the moron. They are the idiot that hired the idiot. Poor communication. And poor communication not only includes hiring the morons, but poor communication includes hiring this poor moron and not showing them anything, not training them in any way, shape, or form, not communicating with them at all, not setting any expectations for them, not letting them know what's expected of them. And then the small business owner is grossly disappointed that they didn't just miraculously work out. You know, I hired them and it's as though, okay, I hired them, I gave them an opportunity, and they're not dazzling me. So they're an idiot. They're a moron. When it could be, somebody just needed to show them what they needed to do. What's the standard? Can you imagine? I heard Tom Peters many years ago lament the fact that businesses, in his opinion, any size business, businesses needed to devote themselves to people very much the same way that professional sports teams do. They have complete departments. Now, there are some differences. He didn't note these, but immediately these came to my mind because I was familiar enough with athletics, not because I had inside knowledge, just I'm a fan. And if you're not, that's okay. But from college to the pros, there are what are called scouts. Colleges don't just up and decide, well, you know, next week we've got to figure out what high school seniors we're going to go recruit. No, man, they're recruiting well in advance. They've got kids on their radar well in advance. They're selecting the people they want to go chase. Professional teams have a limit in that they are subject to a draft. So they have to plan slightly differently, but they're keeping track of a lot of college players who are potentially going to enter the draft. They don't necessarily know where they'll be the next draft. But if you don't think right now, as I hit the record button, today is Tuesday, October the 16th, 2012. We're into what, week seven of the NFL. So we are not at the halfway point. If you don't think that every pro team in the NFL, if they don't already have film libraries and staffs that are watching and paying close attention to all of the players who potentially are going to come out for the next NFL draft, yeah, you're crazy. They're all over it. Tom Peters argued, in our business, we need to be that diligent. Now, yeah, there's some differences and we're not able to be as diligent. For instance, if you are a web development company and you're seeking new talent, well, that new talent is all over the place. It's all over the globe. It's in every nook and cranny of the planet, where the NFL typically is looking at college football programs. So they at least know where their population is going to come from. You don't. But you've got to give it some thought, and you got to go find these people. But man alive, just finding people and hiring people, that needs to be given the effort for sure. But once we hire them, now what? Oh, this is where the communication absolutely positively bites many small businesses. They have no structure. They haven't put in any strategic thought. And so now, as a result, the communication is woefully lacking or it's poor. And there's a difference. But I'm lumping them both into poor communication. Poor communication is no communication, insufficient communication, or communication that is toxic and not beneficial. It's all three of those things at once. When a business owner can't talk about his employees, when a business owner can't talk about her customers without using derogatory terms, even if they're clean, but they're derogatory, just brace yourself for failure. It's coming. You're dead. You just don't know it. You will be dead. The market will determine that you will be dead. And I'm bold enough to say the sooner that happens, the better everybody is. The sooner your business goes away and dies, the better. The better for you, the better for your employees, and vastly better for the world and the market. Because we don't need any more toxic viewpoint, shoot from a hip, fly by the seat of their pants, people that have a bad attitude and communicate that bad attitude all day, every day. They ruin the lives of their customers. They ruin the lives of their employees. They ruin the lives of the market. Get gone. Get gone. Jack Welch used to say something at GE, and I was pretty fond of it. Get better or get beaten. Get better or get beaten. Every now and then, somebody will approach me for some advice about selling. And it is near and dear to my heart. And sometimes they will be taken aback a bit when I tell them, I work pretty hard to see if I can quickly get a yes or a no. I mean, the worst thing that you can get as a salesperson when it comes to this whole communication thing is somebody who's indifferent. You know, so I want to try to be strategic in my communication if I'm talking with a prospect, and I want to try to see if I can get to a yes or a no pretty quick. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm putting on a real fast throat close. It just means I want to know, do I really have a prospect or not? Are they really interested or not? Do they really need whatever it is that I might be selling or not? And the sooner I get to a no, unlike a lot of people who may lament, oh man, I can't believe another door shut my, I applaud those. It's vastly better than a shrug of the shoulders and a person that says, well, you know, I don't know. Well, that doesn't help me. Oh no, I couldn't possibly. And these are the true things that happen. You get a prospect, you talk to them in person or on the phone, and at some point you feel it's appropriate and you may say, well, this may completely blow me out of the water, but let me, you know, let's talk pricing because I know that's important to you. And I understand that. And I'm not saying you do this right off the bat, but at some point, wherever it's appropriate, and you throw it out there. Well, you might throw it out there if you're like me to see, okay, are they going to wince? Are they going to go, oh man, are you kidding? There's no way I could possibly spend that kind of, I mean, I'm looking for some reaction. Or I'm looking for a, yeah, okay. Well, those are two completely different reactions to this communication that are helpful. Helpful. Communication. We need this give and take. We need this feedback. We ask questions. We're looking for responses. And so many small business owners, the communication is so poor. There aren't any responses. Well, or they don't stick around enough for the response. And that's kind of the point. I was talking with somebody just this week about this interaction in selling and trying to read the person and trying to see, okay, well, how's their reaction to this price or this feature or whatever. I mean, you know, you're looking for feedback. And the point was, in their communication, this person was notorious for blurting something out, being heavy-handed, and then gone. Didn't care about any feedback. Didn't wasn't looking at any body language, wasn't looking for any look, any expression in their face. I mean, no, it didn't matter. Didn't matter because the communication was all one way. Pitiful, very pitiful, but all directed at the employee and then gone. And no opportunity. If the employee didn't understand, well, if you're the employee, you're not about to raise your hand and ask a question, not in a setting like that. And I asked this business owner, I said, do you suppose that the employees know how much contempt you hold for them? Well, he was quite offended by that. And I said, it's obvious. It's obvious to me, and I don't work for you. If it's obvious to me, do you suppose it's obvious to them? Well, I resent that. I don't hold them in contempt. I said, well, you could fool me. And if you could fool me, you could fool them. I promise you, they believe you hate them. I don't hate them. But sometimes they act like idiots. Oh, and you never act like an idiot. Like now? Yeah, this is why I have a few clients. But you know, that's okay. I'm not for everybody. I don't want to be for everybody. You don't want to be for everybody. But the toxic viewpoint, the lack of strategic thinking, and these pathetic, pathetic habits of communication are killing a lot of small businesses. I'm just trying to help. These are very easily, in my opinion, the top three things. Oh, yes, there are many other specific things that you might would put under a subheading of any of these. Oh, yeah, there's issues of cash flow. Oh, sure, there's issues of not enough revenues. Oh, sure, there's issues of too thin profit margins. Sure. Oh, yeah, there's absolutely issues of expenses are a little bit out of control and out of whack. Yeah, absolutely. There's issues of, well, our raw materials are costing us too much. There's all of those kinds of issues. But you know what? I'm going to be able to put every single one of those under one or more of these three triple death traps for small businesses. I can do it every single time. It'll fall under toxic viewpoint. It'll fall under lack of strategic thinking. Many of them fall there. And poor communication. I hope it's not the case with your company. I really do. I hope that if one of these is kind of biting you in the backside, that you're trying to get a grip on it. I hope not all three, because if all three of these, and here's what I sadly know to be true, they run in a pack. These three run together. It's why they are the triple death trap. They run in packs of three. I don't know why. Well, yeah, I kind of have my own opinions, because I think they stem from the first one. You tell people that, and then they think, well, you're getting all warm and fuzzy and real hokey. And by it, I don't mean, all the positive mental attitude and just wake up today and think everything will be great. No, you got to put in the work. But my lands, if you're already defeating yourself in your head before you get out of bed, stay in bed. You might as well stay in bed. But no success can be had there. You're going to have to get up, get out, and get on with it. All three of these things can be fixed. All three of them must be fixed if you're going to have an effective small business. If you're going to have an effective small business, it's going to be profitable not only for you and your family, but profitable for the employees, profitable for the customers, profitable for the market. You got to get a grip on these three things. You cannot let any of them edge in, inch in, worm their way into your business. They will kill you. Hey, thanks for giving me, 38 minutes so far of your life. I greatly appreciate it. Do me a favor. I would love it if you would help other people find the podcast. You can best do that for me by leaving a review over at iTunes. There's links all at the website, BULANetwork.com. It'll just help us get the word out. I greatly appreciate it. Now, I'm not trying to be a rock star. I said before, and I mean it. I'm sincere. I'm not for everybody, and I'm not trying to be for everybody. But the small business people that desperately need, this voice of reason and experience, I'd love to be that. So if I can help you in any way, reach out. Touch me. I'm going to ask for one other thing, and that is if you would like to be inside the Yellow Studio, each week I record a video that is exclusive for the people that are on the list, as they say. No, I don't yet have anything to sell. I am working on that thanks to the feedback of many of you who are telling me we'd like to have this or that. I'm giving those things some serious thought. If you'd like to get in on that, up in the upper right-hand corner of the website is a place where you can plug in your name and email address. I would love it if you would do that for me. Those are the two calls to action. A review over at iTunes. That helps other people find us. And plug your name and email address inside the Yellow Studio. That's it for me, kids. Greetings from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Visit the website at BULANetwork.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.